Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Jay. Giving honor first and foremost to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to all who make up this waiting congregation on the phone. I want to give honor to my pastor, Pastor Jay, and Sister Valerie. I want to give honor to Pastor Hargrove and Mother Hargrove. I want to give honor to Minister Allen, and I want to give honor to our deacons, members, visiting friends, and everyone who makes up this waiting online congregation. It is indeed a blessing to proclaim the word of the Lord one more time. And we don't intend to hold you long, but if you could, turn in your Bibles to our Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17th chapter, Jeremiah 17, and we will begin our reading at verse 5. Jeremiah 17th chapter. And we're going to look at a few verses starting at verse 5. Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah 17:5. Amen. If you have it, it reads, starting at verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Verse 6 says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. But verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I read for your consideration Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all the doers of his word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When we as Christians in this present age see pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places and famines, COVID-19 in particular, wars and rumors of wars, international and domestic wars. When we see the love of many waxing cold and people calling evil good and calling good evil and worshiping the creature more than the creator, who is indeed blessed forever, and pushing all manner of evil agendas, sometimes we as Christians wonder, what should we do? And the quick answer this morning is relax. So if you give me a few minutes, our lesson title this morning, based on the scripture and with the help of the Holy Spirit, is relax. If you remember verse 7 of what we just read, verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. If we were in church, I would tell you, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, trusteth in the Lord. But again, verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So if anybody was a little confused this morning as to how we come up with the subject title, relax, if you refer back to verse 7, that should help point us in the right direction. Pastor Jay is a good friend of mine. I've known him for a while, and we've had extensive conversations. And I don't think he'll mind me sharing this because he alluded to it, and I think Sister Valerie mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. But in the midst of this pandemic, there are people who are facing all types of adversity, a lot of financial adversity. And Pastor Jay shared with me a couple of years back, I think his company was going through some things, and I think he shared, you know, with the congregation also that he had been laid off. I'll never forget it. We were sitting in the annex at William Chapel Missionary Baptist Church, and we were preparing for a scholarship meeting. And at that time, Pastor Jay was the president of the scholarship program. After he shared with me that he had, you know, been laid off his job, what I noticed more than anything was the tone in which he was explaining what happened. There was no panic. There was no fear. There was no trepidation. There was no trembling as if he, you know, was unsure about anything. He kind of shared with me the details of what happened on his job, but he wrapped it up with, I know everything is going to be all right. See, there's one thing to talk the talk, but when life's swift transition hit us, that's when the rubber meets the road and you really kind of get to see what types of faith people have. And that was just something that just struck me, because we're going to have things in life. We're going to have issues that come up, but if we're able to relax in the Lord, then everything will be all right. In this message this morning, we don't use the term relax to denote or condone any kind of complacency. Now, I want to straighten that out. On the contrary, being able to relax in the Lord is contingent upon and dependent on our obedience and faithfulness. In other words, in order to be able to achieve that relaxed state, we have to have put in a measure of work and along with faith in the Lord, knowing that whatever happens, it's going to be all right. I can recall some older people say, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And based on that, we can relax. Christian maturity also helps. Once we achieve Christian maturity, and when I say achieve, I use that term loosely because we're all trying to be better today than we were yesterday. But once we've been in this thing for a while and we really spend time and meditate with the Lord and realize who he is and what he is, we can enjoy a lifestyle of what I call bold humility, meaning we're bold because of our unwavering faith in Jesus, but we're humble because we defer all glory and praise to our Heavenly Father. Again, brothers and sisters, this morning I say to you, in the midst of everything going on, relax. In Genesis, Noah toiled for 120 years building the ark. But after 120 years of being close with the Lord and consulting with the Lord and doing everything the Lord said to the T, Noah was able to relax and ride in the ark after it began to rain. Sister Angela, one of our congregants, sings a song, Lord, I've done what you told me to do. And I see that song as a lyrical sigh of relief after having completed her assignment. In other words, Lord, when I've done what you told me to do, I should be able to relax. The three Hebrew boys, y'all are very familiar with the story, but I love telling it. Y'all know King Nebuchadnezzar threw the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, or he threatened to throw them in the fiery furnace if they didn't buckle down, bow down, acquiesce, and capitulate to his edict that everyone was to turn away from God and worship the pagan gods. You know, word got back to Nebuchadnezzar that these three insolent Hebrew boys refused to bow and dismiss their God. So Nebuchadnezzar, in his royal stateliness, he had him arrested, and he had a very candid conversation with him. He told him, if you don't conform to the will of the state, turn away from your God and bow to our Babylonian gods, well, then we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Now, what do you think about that? We talk about bold humility and the ability to relax, because the three Hebrew boys responded in a very relaxed tone, O king, live forever. Even if our God chooses not to save us from this calamity, we know that he can. Moses told the Israelites upon their release from Egypt, they were at the coast of the Red Sea. Moses told them, said, look, I get it. Pharaoh released you, gave you the treasures of Egypt as reparations, then switched out and had what seemed to be somewhat of a bipolar episode and sent his army to kill us. I realize our situation looks pretty dire because we've got mountains to the left and mountains to the right. We've got the Red Sea in front of us and the host of the Egyptian army behind us. But relax, because after today, you'll see their chariots no more. Moses told him, now stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. David said, yea, though I walk, emphasize walk. David didn't say, yea, though I run, or yea, though I bob and weave, or employ some kind of evasive or tactical maneuvers. But David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, I'm comfortable and relaxed even in the valley of the shadow of death. Song says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But the next stanza says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Again, I say, relax in the Lord. The seventh chapter of John, we're all familiar with the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. And they caught this lady in the act of adultery. She jumped up and tried to beat a hasty retreat, which you can't blame her because there was a mob of people chasing. In her attempt to escape, she bent the corner, turned around a corner. Just so happened, Jesus was around that corner. Scripture says that Jesus was so relaxed because he's always aware. He knew what the situation was. He knew what the controversy was. He knew who was coming to see him. But even in the midst of that, Jesus, being God in the flesh, he was so relaxed till the scriptures say he was actually drawing on the ground. When everyone else was turned up and everybody else was in a tizzy about this lady in adultery, Jesus was just kind of relaxed and drawing on the ground. Y'all can remember when we were younger, sometimes you get a stick and you just draw a picture on the ground, a tic-tac-toe. If you're about to play marbles, you draw a little circle. But in any event, this was the scene in the seventh chapter of John. Long story short, Jesus settled the matter and told him, said, look, he who is without sin cast the first stone. But what I love about him is after he settled this matter, the Bible says that he continued to draw on the ground. Now, you talk about messed up priorities. The people who were chasing this woman, first of all, they all obviously were sinful because none of them could hurl the first stone. But in the midst of their mess stirring up, if you will, they didn't even take the opportunity to kind of look and see what was Jesus drawing on the ground. I like to think that if I was there, knowing that this man is God in the flesh and having seen the miracles that he had performed, I would probably kind of get nosy and want to see what is this man drawing on the ground. Sometimes people in life get so caught up in mess and so caught up in trying to get in other folks' business until they miss the key to life right there in front of them. Jesus, I don't know, he might have been drawing something that unlocked one of the mysteries of the universe. He might have been drawing something that unlocks the key to time and eternity. Or he may have been drawing the blueprints to our mansions in heaven. Who knows? But in any event, if they wouldn't have been so concerned with stirring up mess and keeping mess going and just being authors of confusion, they may have taken the time to look and see what he was drawing. Give me a few more minutes, y'all. Again, I say, my brothers and sisters, relax in the Lord. 10th chapter of Luke tells a story about Martha and her sister Mary, who were the sisters of Lazarus. Jesus would frequent their house often and just kind of hang out with them. And in Luke chapter 10, it says that Martha was so encumbered with much cleaning while Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Again, Mary relaxed and got that good part that was coming from God, whereas Martha was busy with menial tasks of cleaning up the house. To the point to where Martha started to kind of go in on Jesus for not making Mary come help clean up with the dishes and sweeping, etc. Now, don't get me wrong, the dishes needed to be washed and the floor needed to be swept. But when God is sitting in your living room couch for the next 45 minutes, you need to relax and go see what he's talking about. Martha is a figurative example of sometimes us getting encumbered about today with so much until we don't take a few minutes to see what God is talking about. Again, my brothers and sisters, relax in the Lord. 8th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, peace be still. You know the stories out on the Sea of Galilee, and he was sleeping in the lower deck of the ship, and the storms began to rock and push the boat about. And the disciples, who were with Jesus all the time, began to kind of freak out and panic. Again, Jesus hit the top deck and spoke to the wind and said, peace be still. In other words, Jesus told the wind to relax. His disciples were so impressed until they wanted to know, what manner of man is this that even the wind obeys. So again, my brothers and sisters, even when the wind and the storms of life are rolling, do all that you can responsibly. But after you've done all you can do, relax in the Lord. Matthew 14 chapter, we go a little further. Jesus walked out on the water, and then his disciples were in a boat, and they looked out and saw this glowing figure walking on the water. And Peter, kind of being the leader of the disciples, he spoke to the figure. Turns out the figure walking on the water was actually Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples, said, look, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. In other words, fellows, relax. Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, well, then I hope you don't mind me putting you to the test, but if it's you out there, let me walk out there to you. I think you heard me say this before. Jesus said, come on. Peter carefully stepped out on faith, and he stepped out on the water and began to walk on the water. I'd imagine Peter was walking on the water, and he kept his eyes on Jesus. He was relaxed. I'm sure his breathing was calm, and his systolic and diastolic blood pressure was pretty mellow. But I'd imagine he got a couple of yards away from the boat, and I don't know, probably saw a catfish swim under his left foot, then began to hyperventilate. And once he panicked, took his eyes off Jesus, he no longer was in a relaxed state. He was no longer relaxing in the Lord, but began to focus on his immediate circumstances. And by doing that, he decided to obey the laws of physics instead of leaning and depending on Jesus. And, of course, when he did that, he began to sink. But if he was just focused on Jesus, he'd realize Jesus is the one who made it possible for him to walk on water in the first place. When we begin to sink in life, if we realize that Jesus brought, if he brought us out before, he'll bring us out again. Brothers and sisters, again, I say, relax. 11th chapter of John. Again, referring back to Lazarus, who was one of Jesus' good friends and a very, very familiar story. You know, Jesus took his time getting back after he received word that Lazarus was sick. And of course, when he got back to Bethany, Lazarus had died. So Lazarus' sisters came up to Jesus and told him, said, you know, we believe that if you would have kind of made haste and came on back, our brother Lazarus, he'd still be alive. But what I love about Jesus is he didn't freak out. He didn't panic. He was probably the only one in the area who was calm. Jesus relaxed. He was already relaxed. And in his state of being relaxed, knowing that he was fully God and fully man, he asked him, where did you bury him? And he began to walk in that direction. Jesus also said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In other words, Mary, don't you weep, and Martha, don't you moan, but relax. See, we, as men, we go to the cemetery to make deposits. We made a deposit yesterday with my grandfather, Deacon Harold Neils. But Jesus always goes to the cemetery to make withdrawals. And I think I'd like to make that reference because our pastor is a banker. Amen. But again, we go to the cemetery to make deposits. That's all we can do. But Jesus makes withdrawals. Again, my brothers and sisters, relax in the Lord. 26th chapter of Matthew, we're kind of getting out to the end of Jesus' earthly life. We know that he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And again, understandably so, that was a very tense, very nerve-wracking time for Jesus' disciples, to the point to where Peter, Jesus's, I guess, lead disciple, if he had to assign rank, pulled out his little shank that he had on him and cut off one of the Roman soldiers' ear. Again, Jesus was never panicking. Jesus relaxed. He told Peter, said, Peter, put away your sword. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. But in that same vein of utter relaxation and confidence in God, verse 53, Jesus told Peter, said, look, Peter, the reason I'm relaxed, and I'm paraphrasing, but the reason I'm so relaxed is because right now, if I call upon my Father, he'll send 12 legions of angels to get me out of this situation. Now, for my military people, I know the Carters are online, and y'all fact check me a little bit later if you need to, but when we look at legions and how many angels or soldiers would constitute a legion, it starts with the individual soldier, which is one person, individual. You get a few soldiers together and you have a fire team, and you get a few fire teams together, you've now swolled it up into a squad. You get your couple of squads and you've now got a platoon, and get you a couple of platoons and you now have a company. Get you a couple of companies and now you have a battalion, and a couple of battalions would constitute a regiment. You get you a few regiments together, now you have a corps, and a couple of corps would constitute an army. Now, over in China, back in the days when they had hundreds of millions of these people, they would get a couple of armies and get what's called a horde. And if you get several hordes, you now have one legion. Jesus said, if I call upon my Father right now, he'll send 12 legions to overtake the Roman army and any army on earth to get me up out of this situation if I wanted to get up out of here. So in other words, Peter, as I put this man's ear back on, I need you to relax. Again, relaxing, my brothers and sisters, and relenting now are not the same thing. I do want to clarify that. We as Christians are relaxed, but we're relaxed in the Lord, even though we're vigilant. We're focused and steadfast, but we remain relaxed because, again, if we're in the Lord, there's no need to ever panic. I stay relaxed during this worldwide COVID-19 pandemic, but true enough, I'm washing my hands and wearing my mask and trying my best to maintain social distancing. But even at that, there's no need to panic. I see sometimes people in this political climate, they get into heated arguments over religion and politics. And sometimes even family members or close friends fall out with each other. When it comes to religion, we can be friends, but my unwavering position is Jesus, the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins and was resurrected on the third day to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The key to salvation, the only way to heaven. Now, if someone doesn't agree with me, that's fine. But in a very relaxed tone, I say I'm taking my belief to my grave. And, you know, you can take your belief or non-belief to your grave. And all we can do is see about it on the other side. But in any event, relax. See, my focus on Jesus' victory over death helps me to relax in the Lord. Relaxing while, of course, remaining focused. But the biblical principle of maintaining focus while staying relaxed can be illustrated in every walk of life. Again, staying focused, but also being relaxed is the formula for success. And again, there are even sports examples of being relaxed and focused at the same time, and that leading to success. There's a young man who I had the honor of talking to. He's an Apopka High School alumnus and a pro boxer. His name is Craig Duncan. He was telling me one time that the secret to his success in the boxing ring is to train hard but fight easy. Train hard but fight easy. In other words, he trains hard, but in the ring he relies upon that training, and he's not freaking out and he's not panicking. Regardless of the situation, he's fighting easy because he can go back and refer to his training. In other words, as Christians, we train hard by praying and staying in the Word, but we fight easy and stay relaxed by letting the Lord fight for us during the battle. And in life, we're going to have battles, but again, if we train hard by staying in the Word and staying prayerful, well, then when the fight comes, we won't have any problems. We can relax. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it is possible to be relaxed and very active and focused at the same time. Another sports analogy. I love golf. Tiger Woods is my favorite golfer. As a person, that's a different story, but he's my favorite golfer of all time. At the height of his powers, Tiger Woods could swing the golf club north of 120 miles per hour. Sometimes he can get up to 140 miles per hour. But during that whole time, his forearms, wrists, and hands were totally relaxed. Usain Bolt is the fastest recorded human to date. He was interviewed, and he described how, true enough, he is executing perfect textbook technique coming out of the starting blocks at the beginning of the race. But, however, once he hits his rhythmic stride, he is completely relaxed as he moves up and down the track. So as we close this morning, again, we want to say relax in the Lord. Luke, the 20th chapter, Jesus puts it all in a nice little bow, and this helps me to relax. Knowing that we didn't come here to stay, my birthday is September 21st, 1974, and that would be the first date on my eventual tombstone. There's a dash there now, and I don't know what the next date is, but in any event, I'm relaxed as I work towards my heavenly reward. Luke chapter 20, Jesus confirms that, where he says, those who are counted worthy to obtain that world, and in that world he's talking about heaven, so they cannot die anymore and are equal to the angels. And if Jesus said it, I believe it. So again, my brothers and sisters, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. If we stay relaxed in the Lord, everything will be all right. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer.